So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hello, I'm Nathan.
Hi, I'm James.
I'm Mark.
I'm Dean.
And you're in a band, and that band is called...
That band is called Chi... Cheetahs.
Can you try to just carry that along?
Come on, guys, I need some help.
Cheetahs.
So I'm going to fill in some blanks. We got your London, we got your Canada, we got your Germany, we got your U.S., we got your male bonding, we got you met in a pub at some point.
This band's really kind of formed, like, over the course of several years, really. Even though we really kind of feel like it's only in the last year, but we've been friends for so long, and we've all played in, like, mutual bands with, like, other people in London. I hate to use the word scene, but there, in the loose sense, there kind of is an East London scene. And some of those people we loathe and some of them we love, but you'll see a lot of the same people out and about, and, you know, a lot of those guys we've played with before. So, and a lot of them are putting out records right now and, you know, doing great music. And so it's been really fun. I mean, even you go to a place like South By, like we were in last week, and everywhere we go, we'll see East London guys that we know that are in good bands. Either they're having fun or they're playing. And we don't necessarily have anything in common musically with much of these bands, but it does kind of feel like that we're part of a scene in the loose sense of the word, I would say, for me. I don't know.
These two EPs that we now get as one big EP here in America, what would that be? That would be an EEP, an extended extra play, or an extra, an EP to the second power.
That's right.
This is a big sound you got going here. This is not subtle. The meter kind of stays, and I like that kind. I like wall of sound. This started out, most of the recording was in your rehearsal space, but then you brought in a really good mixer. Am I correct?
So the big difference between the first EP, the chord EP, right, and the next one was that one was done mostly just at Dean's studio.
That's the Marshall Teller EP.
That's the Marshall Teller one. Yeah. And that was when we really just wanted to get the songs down so that we had the parts there. You know, it wasn't so much about tones or, you know, we didn't really have the luxury of having...
We'd had a bit of an epiphany. We were playing quite kind of low-key, surfy music together, and it was really fun. And I think just one day we're like, this is just, we're all into bands which are just loud and noisy, and we're just like, let's do that because it'll be way more fun.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do.
At one point it was on, we had an acoustic guitar, you know, and so a lot of the songs came from just the acoustic, and hence the kind of typical song structure to most of them, you know. But then we played a few shows, and then it was just kind of like, yeah, it was okay, but you kind of just really wanted to thrash it out, you know? And so we just got our amps together.
Organic.
And
yeah. I think that was an organic process in that this did start out as a bedroom project for Nathan, and then he asked me to come help. And then as soon as we got Mark and Dean on board, it needed to shift up a gear, I think, and... because Nathan and I played, you know, just shows together, just the two of us before the other two joined. But as soon as they joined, it just needed to become something else.
Yeah, and the context of the band changed, really, and we actually became a band. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, versus two guys playing stuff.
Yeah, trying stuff out, kind of, you know. Because, you know...
And I just wanted to say, in terms of the, like, recording and mixing, we're really trying to do as much as we can just within the band and just kind of really quite DIY, you know, keeping it real, really, and just sticking to that formula because we can.
So these are kind of happy sounding songs and my favorite thing in the world, with a really dark undercoating. When you start listening to them, you're like sitting there, guitars are jangling and it's great, and like kind of getting a little depressed here. But it's the greatest trick in the world, right? It's the, I call it the Morrissey trick, right?
Well, there you go.
Everything's great, but tell me a little bit, when you did suddenly figure out what this was, did you talk about where the songs were going to go? And I know that initially the songs were composition with others joining in, but I imagine now with the new record you've just finished that there's a lot more integration there than there was on the two EPs. So you guys want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for this record, the one that nobody's heard yet, we went down to Cornwall and we hired out this like this 200-300-year-old cottage, and we brought down all our equipment and set up, and it was, you know, fireplace, and it was really small and cozy in a valley in the middle of nowhere. And we'd had demos that we brought in, and in 5-6 days just thrashed them out and wrote the whole record in that week and recorded the demos there.
But still self-produced.
Still, yep. And we're just about to finish it. Once we get back home after this tour, we've got probably a couple weeks of mixing that we got to do, and then it'll pretty much be done. So we did the demos in October, and then we went to a studio in January for a couple weeks. And so a big difference on this record compared to the other ones is we actually finally got to record drums to tape, which is...
Wow.
So it's kind of, nice. We're going from everything in an M-Box Pro Tools, and we're going all the way backwards into the way you should be doing it, you know, and it's literally just the luxury of now having a label and having time as a band to be playing shows together, and that's really the real change I feel like on this record is that it feels like it's a band, you know, and not a collection of EPs, or it should feel like a record.
I'm going to read you a couple of quotes. Here's what I hate with a passion. I hate when people put labels on things. They're a guitar band. Oh my gosh. Yes, you got a lot of guitars in the band. Amazing, amazing. So let's see. You, depending on who I read, you are either Scuzzy Noisters. I like Scuzzy Noisters. I think of Cheetahs Fails as a band name. We always come up with them in these interviews. Scuzzy Noisters. And my favorite, I'm going to do this in my full announcer voice. Channeling 90s influences with a sense of maturity rather than a sense of youth. How are you going to tackle that one? Because I want to get rid of that real... This is the interview where we're going to get rid of that, and then people will look back on it and say they got away with it somehow.
By not giving a f***, I think that's how we're going to deal with it, yeah.
We just play music that we like to listen to. And don't... I never sit and go, oh, this sounds like... some words. It sounds like music to me, and that's really the only way that I hear things. It's not by... Do you know what I mean?
Well, I was just going to say, I think the best advice I ever heard was a Bradford Cox saying, just write the record you want to hear, and that's all you can do. It was such a simple but beautiful piece of advice. You know, if you're not hearing it in other bands, make it yourselves.
When you think about what you really want to do is... Obviously, every band wants to get heard. That's why you do it. But you could be massive in the UK and you could be zip zero here, or you could be massive here and you could be zip zero in the UK. Now, even though you are not all UKers, you are a UK-based band, and now you're coming here. So tell me a little bit about that, and what the... Do you talk about it and say, you know, we really want to be big here and we want to be playing big venues, or do you...
Well,
when you talk about it.
Yeah, I mean...
What's the plan?
The plan right now, I think, is just to... just play a bunch of shows. Like, we've really, really only been a band playing shows for about a year. And even before then, like last year, by June, we'd only played 3 shows or something, you know? And then we went on tour and, you know, just... I think just trying to have as much fun as we can while we're all able to do this right now, make as much music as we can. Because, you know, life oftentimes gets in the way of things. And it's like, you know, if we can... play across America like we're doing right now, like that's totally enough for me right now, you know? Yeah,
enjoy the moment. I think I love this, do you know the Nerdist podcast, Chris Hardwick, and I love his ethos, which is enjoy your burrito, which is basically enjoy what you're doing now. Don't look to the future and say I'm going to be enjoying it in the future. No, if you're not enjoying it now, you shouldn't be doing it.
It must be really interesting to be playing these songs for the first time for people. That must be pretty wild. So when you go on stage and do you think about that and say, you know, they've probably heard Swans. Maybe they've heard the other track but they haven't heard a lot of this stuff. So that's got to be really interesting and a blast, but it's also probably got to be scary in some ways.
I mean, I think it's a fun challenge. It would be nice at some point to experience what it's like playing to a room full of people that like know all the words to all the songs and that kind of thing. I mean, not because it means success, but just because that would be fun. But right now, it's kind of interesting gauging the audience reaction. You know, most of the people here at this show and at most of the shows are here for the headliner and not us. And I don't know. It's a fun challenge for me to see if we can kind of turn them on and, you know, make them respond to a song that they haven't heard before.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.